Good evening and welcome to the show. This is Mark Levine. I've got an exciting 3 hours for you tonight. In the first hour, we're going to talk about Social Security and Medicare. Republicans always say they want to cut entitlements. All right, let's do it. Let's explore exactly what cuts would mean. Let's call their bluff. Okay, I don't really want to cut entitlements, but I do want you to know exactly what would happen if we did. Then in the second hour, it's on to Michigan, talking about the very controversial decision of a state that, let's face it, paved the way for middle-class wages in Detroit making cars, and now they're turning on their own unions. The same people that made Michigan and made this country really in an era of manufacturing, now the governor of Michigan is turning on them. We're going to talk about right-to-work laws, what they mean, and whether or not they're good for Michigan. I'll give you a hint. I don't think so. And then in the third hour, it's Leslie. She's back. I don't even know what she's doing, but for those of you who miss her, don't worry. You will have Leslie in the third hour. So lots and lots to talk about. Let's start with the first hour. So Republicans are always saying they want to cut entitlements. If you listen to John Boehner, he says, now, wait. I don't want to talk about taxes. I don't want to talk about raising taxes on the top 2%. I want to talk about entitlements. And I, like a good liberal, have spent most of my time talking about the fiscal cliff and talking about the tax rates, right? I mean, that's what President Obama talks about. That's what I talk about. Should the super rich pay a little more? So I say tonight, let's take a look at what the Republicans want. They say they're willing to give some revenue. They never really specify what. If we cut entitlements. So what is an entitlement? Well, Social Security, Medicare come to mind. Maybe Medicaid would count as an entitlement. What is an entitlement and what would happen if we cut it? What are the various plans to cut it? What are the Republicans saying? I'll give you a hint, they're not being very specific. And how would it affect ordinary Americans if we were to cut some of these programs? To help me answer these questions, I've invited Sarah Shive. She is the Legislative Director for Social Security Works and the Strengthened Social Security Coalition. And even though that sounds very Social Security oriented, I'm told she knows a lot about Medicare as well. Sarah Shive, welcome to the show.
Mark.
Welcome. So let's start with Social Security, since that's your expertise here. Have the Republicans proposed any specific ways to cut Social Security?
They have. And, you know, that was actually part of, you know, and just to say this out loud, I guess, to you know, start at the beginning, Social Security does not contribute to the deficit. It is prohibited under federal law from spending any money that it doesn't have, and it gets all of its revenue from the payroll contributions that all of us make when we're working.
So, yeah, Al Gore famously talked about it as a lockbox that he wouldn't break into, and then George Bush apparently broke into it and paid for a couple of wars. But your point is right. Social Security is separately funded, which is why even though the entire budget certainly has a massive deficit, that's the thing they're complaining about, fiscal cliff, $1 trillion deficit, Social Security has a surplus, if I'm correct, right?
That is absolutely right. Social Security has a $2.7 trillion surplus in the trust fund that other programs can't touch.
$2.7 trillion surplus. So they have a surplus that's more than twice as large as our current deficit.
Yes.
Okay, but despite all that, Republicans want to, what do they want? They want to touch that surplus? They want to, how would they change Social Security?
So part of Speaker Boehner and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, part of their initial offer on deficit reduction, what they've told the president they wanted, because he said you need to name some things that you think you want. One of them is a very important and very harmful Social Security cut that's known as the chained CPI.
The Chain Consumer Price Index. That's a very technical thing, which I will use my economics to explain. Basically, the Consumer Price Index, they take a bucket of goods, you know, might be milk or meat or a table or a chair. I don't know what's in the Consumer Price Index, but supposedly they're things that consumers buy, and they measure how the price changes from month to month, quarter to quarter, year to year, and that's how we get our inflation rate called the Consumer Price Index. The chained CPI is, my understanding, about 0.3% less than that. And that the idea is that, well, if milk goes too high, you can buy orange juice instead, I guess, although I wouldn't want my cereal with orange juice. But in any case, the point about it is by raising the inflation rate about 0.3% less, that would be the cost of living adjustments for Social Security and I guess Medicare as well. And so the people who benefit from Social Security would get smaller increases each year. Did I explain that right?
Exactly. And I think you can actually explain the chain CPI even more simply,
okay.
Believe it or not, because basically, and Senator Harkin said this very compellingly recently, but basically just what it does is when the cost of something goes up to where you can't afford it anymore, the chain CPI just throws that out of the calculation. So they just assume that you're going to switch to something else. Like if it gets too expensive to heat your house, maybe you don't heat your house as much anymore and you buy more blankets, which I don't really think is a vision of America that we really want for our seniors. But yeah, that's what, so basically what it means is your Social Security benefits are not going to keep up with the increases in the cost of living at the grocery store, at the gas pump, you know, at the doctor and the hospital. And even worse, it applies to, there have been a lot of proposals to apply it government-wide, which tries, you know, that because Social Security is separate, you can't really count those savings for deficit reduction, but you can apply it to everything, and then you can count the savings you would get from, for example, military retirement benefits, benefits for disabled veterans.
So basically what this does is this decreases the cost of living increase that everyone gets who gets benefit from the government, whether it be Social Security or Medicare or veterans or really anybody, federal workers, pensions, health care, whatever, everybody would get a smaller increase year to year. That's the heart of it.
Exactly.
Well, some say it's 0.3%. Maybe if you think the number's different, let me know. But I'll play devil's advocate with you. What's wrong with 0.3%? We need to save money somewhere.
Well, so here are, I guess I can just rattle off a couple of problems.
Go for it.
To start with.
Please.
So the first problem is that while 0.3% doesn't sound like very much, the reality is, for someone who retires at the full retirement age, which is now 66, by the time you have been retired for 20 years, you know, the average beneficiary only gets about $15,000 a year from Social Security benefits, which is extremely modest.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they were 86, then they would be losing about $1,000 in benefits every year that they would have had under the current law, but with the chain CPI, they wouldn't get it. And I think, you know, when you're getting $15,000 a year as the average benefit amount, $1,000 is a pretty big difference.
Okay.
So
what else are they going to do with Social Security? Because most of the discussion in Washington seems to be around Medicare because, let's face it, the surplus of Social Security is so huge. And it's not going to run out till what we have now, 2040, something like that?
2033.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Medicare could go broke as early as 2018, if I got that number right. Is that number right?
I believe it's now been revised to 2024.
Oh, that's right. Actually, Obama, yes, actually helped that by putting up some more money in the Medicare fund with his Obamacare. So you're absolutely right. He extended it for 6 years to 2024. Thank you. That's why I have an expert like you on the phone. So it looks like most of their – we'll get to Medicare in a second. But I think they're mostly focusing on that. Other than the chain CPI, are there any other Republican, shall we call it, threats to Social Security?
Well, so I would say, you know, the Republicans have always been anxious to try to increase the retirement age. That's not something we're hearing a whole lot about right now, and part of the reason for that is when the Congressional Budget Office and the Joint Committee on Taxation are making their estimates of how much money would be raised or how much money the government would save with some of these proposals, increasing the retirement age doesn't count for anything because Social Security is legally separate from the budget. So we haven't, there hasn't been too much play on that just because everybody's sort of going for this arbitrary $4 trillion number, and Social Security proposals are not going to get you closer to that.
I see. Another thing, by the way, it should be pointed out that I don't think a lot of people realize is by the time I reach Social Security, and certainly by the time you reach Social Security, it's already going to be 67. I don't think most Americans even know that the rate's already gone up, and I'm not going to get Social Security, full Social Security benefits, until I'm 67. So they've already done this part of it. I don't like it, but they've already done it, right?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think even more importantly, which is important to people who are, you know, talking or thinking about, you know, increases in the retirement ages, as you mentioned, the retirement age increase that's already going into effect hasn't even been fully implemented yet. So we don't even know all the consequences of doing this.
Yeah, we're only at 66 now, right? And
it's, exactly.
And it's still going to go up to 67.
Exactly, and we don't know the consequences. So, you know, there are certain individuals who are out there, you know, talking about that we should raise it further. But, I would say to them, you know, we just, we don't know the implications.
Sarah, I need to take a break, but I'll tell you, that allows me to do two things. One, it allows me to move after the break to Medicare, which I think is the more serious one. It's the one that Republicans are more seriously trying to cut, and the one that, let's face it, is in tougher surplus, let's say, than Social Security, and tougher fiscally, and also gives a chance for people to call in, 888-653-7543. If you have a comment on either Social Security or Medicare, and if you want it cut or not cut, and if you want it cut, I got to know how. You can't be one of these Republicans that say, cut entitlements, and we'll worry about how later. I want specifics, folks. 888-653-7543, right back after this. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Mark Levine, talking about Social Security and Medicare in the first hour. Republicans always say they want to cut them, but they rarely give specifics. I know that Barack Obama met with the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, today, and the question is he willing to be specific? And he keeps saying, no, Mr. President, you tell me how you want to cut Medicare. And he's like, no, you tell me how you want to cut Medicare. And he says, well, you're not cutting it enough. But he has, to my knowledge at least, not specified exactly what he wants. But I have an expert with me, and she can tell me if I'm wrong. Her name is Sarah Scheib, and she is the legislative director for Social Security Works and the Strengthen Social Security Coalition. But don't let her fool you. She also knows a lot about Medicare. So, Sarah, let me ask you about Medicare. Medicare is not quite as strong fiscally as Social Security, right?
Well, Medicare is, you know, one, I think, key distinction between Medicare and Social Security is Medicare is just funded differently. Social Security isn't funded with any general revenue. It's funded with, or at least, you know, under normal circumstances, there have been a couple differences lately with the payroll tax holiday. But in general, Social Security does not use any of the general revenue, the tax money that the Treasury has coming in. But Medicare is financed a little bit differently. So it's financed with payroll taxes, with premiums that beneficiaries pay every month, and then also with general revenue. So
cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare would actually help the budget be more in balance.
Medicare has an impact on the budget, where Social Security doesn't.
So tell me specifically, if you know, because I don't, but specifically where Republicans say they would cut Medicare.
Well, you know, there are a lot of folks with some interesting ideas about how to cut Medicare. I can tell you two of the cuts that have gotten play recently, and I can also tell you why they're so harmful. The first,
but just to be clear, John Boehner hasn't specified anything, has he? Or have I missed
something? You know, I believe he pointed to raising the eligibility age for Medicare.
Yeah,
that's
true.
He would like to see
65 to 67, I guess.
Yeah, they've generally not wanted to be specific because they don't want the American people to know what they're up to.
Makes sense. Okay, so what are the things that some Republicans are saying, and how would they harm Medicare? Go ahead.
Sure. So I think the first big one that's been getting some play is increasing the Medicare eligibility age, like you said, from 65 to 67. And that's one that's really harmful because, you know, that takes some of the younger seniors out of the Medicare pool, so it increases everyone's health care costs. It just doesn't make sense. But
the other thing it does is they are going to need health care. It's not like everyone that's 65 and 66 doesn't need health care. So if they can't afford it, they're going to be in our emergency rooms and everything anyway. It's the problem that Obamacare was trying to get rid of. It actually would get worse, I guess.
Exactly. And one thing that's really interesting about this change is that because everybody says, oh, we would do something like this over a long period of time and we wouldn't want to impact any near retirees, everybody talks about, oh, if you're under 55, you don't have to worry about any of this stuff. And forgive me for getting a little bit wonky here for a second. Deficit reduction, we generally look at a 10-year budget window. So people are very focused on how much money will this save over the 10-year window. Well, if you say we're going to protect everybody who is under 55, then it actually...
would have no impact on the budget.
It would have no impact.
In the next 10 years.
Exactly. So there would be no impact. So one of the Medicare Republicans... eligibility age...
Yeah, I was going to say, one thing Republicans are saying is not telling the truth.
Yeah.
Either it will affect people over 55 today, or it won't affect the budget at all. So it cannot be that both things they are saying are true. Good point.
Exactly.
Good, solid
and
point.
So it'll, I mean, the end of that is, right, we would institute this harmful change to raise $0 toward reducing the deficit. I mean, it just leads you to sort of this inevitable conclusion that Republicans must just be applying some kind of cruelty test.
At least to some head scratching. Real quick, you got about a minute to tell me about the second thing, then we'll take a break, and after the break, if you'll stay on with me, we'll have some calls. What's the second thing that they want to do in Medicare?
Sure. The other one that's been getting some play that a lot of us are really concerned about is means testing for Medicare. Seniors with income over a certain level, it's about $85,000 for one person or $170,000 for a couple, pay more for Medicare. And some folks have talked about lowering this to try to raise money, and with the idea that, a lot of people cite, oh, well, Bill Gates, can pay more for Medicare, whatever. But really, if you were looking at lowering that, you'd be lowering it to sort of the level where, a senior who has maybe $40,000 in income is having to pay a lot more for Medicare. And, I just don't think any of us actually think of a senior with $40,000 in income as someone who is, so wealthy that they can throw money away like confetti.
I'll tell you my proposal, Sarah. What I would do is, instead of lowering the benefits, I would say just lift the cap. Instead of stopping it at $100,000 or so, if you make $200,000, $1 million, pay the same payroll tax as everyone else pays. Some Republicans might call that a flat tax. If so, why do you oppose it, folks? I want to hear from you. What would you do? Do you like these proposals? What would you change? 888-653-7543. And if you change nothing, that's okay too. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. If you want to call in and talk about Social Security and Medicare, here's your chance to do it. Call now, 888-653-7543. Really, it's your last chance, because after the commercial break, we have the Talk Radio News Service, and I'm devoting the entire second hour to the Michigan anti-union decision. The employers and Republicans call it right to work. I call it right to mistreat workers. I think that's a better name for it. So that's the second hour. And then the third hour, Leslie is back. And I know you folks don't want to miss her. But you want to talk about Social Security or Medicare, 888-653-7543. What I find surprising is how few Republicans even want to cut these programs, at least those ordinary Republicans, though those in power seem to want to cut them. My guest is Sarah Shive. She is the Legislative Director for Social Security Works and the Strengthened Social Security Coalition. Now, before the break, Sarah, you were telling me that a lot of people talk about means testing Medicare. And I should tell you that I just got a tweet from a guy by the name of John Fox, who says, yep, means test Medicare benefits. And a lot of moderates, a lot of people in the middle talk about means testing. It's not just those on the far right. What's wrong with means testing? And what does it even mean? Because to me, raising the cap is one thing, but means testing, I actually think, means cuts in benefits, right? Well, what's the difference?
I mean, means testing means you're going to have to pay more for the same thing from everybody, that everybody's getting.
Okay.
One reason that means testing is very concerning is because, we really look at Social Security and Medicare as earned benefits that people pay into, over a long career of hard work. And, Medicare is already means tested, which means that, like I said, people with a high income pay more. But,
a higher premium when you say pay more.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But, issue with that is in order to raise very much money by means testing, you've got to really ratchet that threshold down. So, like I said, for a senior citizen, is having $40,000 in income really high income? And that's, I think, around the income range that they're looking at if they're going to increase the means testing, the range.
How about my idea? Simply raise the cap. The cap is, $113,000, something like that. Why not raise that? Why not just remove the cap and say that everybody pays? We could just start with Medicare. We'll do a Social Security in a minute. But everyone pays, 1.2% or so? Everybody pays 1.2%, not just people who make under $100,000. But if you make $1 million, you pay 1.2%. If you make $100 million, you pay 1.2%. That would raise significant funds, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the great things about Medicare is, and not everybody knows this, but that Medicare has no cap. So people pay that all the way up. But Social Security, and I think you're exactly right there, and that's exactly what we want to see on Social Security. There are a lot of people running around waving their hands in the air like, oh my God, something has to be done on Social Security or it's going to run out of money. And, I think you pointed this out earlier, it's not going to run out of money in the near term. Even when we get to 2033, if we did nothing, which is unimaginable that Congress would do nothing, it could still pay 75% of the benefits, which isn't going bankrupt at all. But, if the cap was eliminated and people were still earning benefits for the additional amount that they were paying in, you could potentially eliminate the entire shortfall over 75 years by doing that.
Have no problem with lifting the cap on Social Security.
I think you're right that it's a no-brainer.
Okay. Now, on Medicare, thank you for correcting me. I got that one wrong, and that's why I have an expert like you on. I didn't realize there is no cap in Medicare. So if you are a millionaire, you pay 1.2. Is it 1.2%? Is that the right percentage?
I think that's right.
Okay. But whatever the percentage is, 1.2, 1.3, you pay that whether you make $1 million or $10 million or $100 million. If you make $100 million, you'd pay $1.2 million into the system. Is that right?
Right, on your salary
Medicare
income.
Right, right. Yep. Okay, yeah, but not on your capital gains and all the other things that Mitt Romney
has. Exactly right.
Okay, well, here's one of the things that I'm trying to understand here. So the Republicans say, specifically John Boehner has said to President Obama, hey, you didn't cut enough in Medicare. We want to see more cuts. But he doesn't specify which cuts. And as I recall, the Republican Party ran a lot of ads for Mitt Romney complaining about the $716 billion that Obama cut, not to beneficiaries, but to insurance companies and hospitals and those that profit in the Medicare system. And they complained about cutting benefits to hospitals and insurance companies. But instead, I guess they want cuts to benefits to seniors. Did I get that right?
You are exactly right, and this has been a big head-scratcher for us because I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head there. And the good news is that while, there are a lot of, the Affordable Care Act did a lot to not just preserve but expand, seniors get more benefits for their Medicare now than they did before, and they did that by, trimming some of the fat, from inefficiencies and where, hospitals and providers were getting paid too much. And the good news from our perspective is there are still more opportunities to do that and raise a significant amount of money without, basically going into my grandmother's wallet and taking her money out.
So the heart of what Republicans want is they want more money to go to insurance companies, more money to go to hospitals and other big for-profit corporations, and less money to go to seniors. So that sounds to me a lot like Paul Ryan's old voucher plan, just kind of dressed up a little bit differently.
It's certainly very bizarre, and I think especially when you say it that way, it is a position that I think hardly anyone would agree with.
And yet, and maybe Boehner knows that. And by the way, let me give out the numbers again, because this is your last chance to call in on this. We have to talk about a new service. If you want to call, 888-653-7543, if you want to make a comment here. But so it seems to me that Boehner knows that most Americans don't support that plan. And that's why he's saying to Barack Obama, cut Medicare more, but you tell me how you're going to cut it more. I demand you cut it more, but I'm not going to tell you where. I'm just going to throw out a number. And he threw out a number, $600 billion or $800 billion, but I'm not going to tell you where it's coming from. Does that mean it's coming from the Ryan budget, or is it just sort of a mystery still?
I mean, you've got me, right? I don't know, but I think you're totally right that they don't want the American people to know what they're up to, because every poll shows that people are more worried about cuts to Medicare and Social Security than they're worried about the deficit. And, you know, everybody, even members of the Tea Party, don't want Social Security and Medicare to be cut.
And yet when Barack Obama says he's already cut discretionary spending, $1.6 trillion, every Republican pundit I've heard and every Republican congressperson I've heard, not ordinary people, they say, well, no, spending's one thing. You got to take it out of entitlements. If not Social Security and not Medicare, what's left? Medicaid? Is that what they're talking about? What are they talking about?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, we're deeply concerned, too, about the possibility of cuts to Medicaid. You know, that program is really, you know, there's just not a lot of fat to cut there, but it's one that people really depend on. And I think notably, you know, for example, you know, 2/3 of Medicaid goes to pay for long-term care.
That's an important statistic. 2/3 of Medicaid goes to people in nursing homes. See, I think most people think of Medicaid goes to, you know, people who are extremely poor and so forth. But 2/3 goes to nursing homes, and we all know a lot of people in nursing homes. Okay, I've got some number of people on the line that want to add their 2 cents. Agree or disagree, we'd love to hear from you. 888-653-7543. Mark, line 4 in Buffalo, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there, Mark. What are your thoughts on cutting
you know that David Gregory, he shouldn't be on that Meet the Press. He, you know, every week he says, and he had that Maria Bartiromo on.
Yeah, Maria Bartiromo from CNBC.
Both of them were emphatic that Social Security was the main driver of the debt and deficit.
But they, as Sarah's pointing out, it's completely separate.
How can they get away with lying like that?
Well, I don't know how to get away with it. I do know this. Really, ever since the Gore-Bush election, or I should say the Bush selection after Gore was elected, ever since that time, you know, Gore had very much pointed out with his lockbox that he was mocked for Saturday Night Live and everything. But he pointed out very clearly that it's in a lockbox. It's completely separately funded. And in fact, it has a massive surplus, while the rest of the budget has a massive deficit. But what Republicans tend to do is they throw it all together and they add the two as if they were not separate. They add the two together and then they say, oh, well, we still have a deficit, so let's cut Social Security. And that's, by the way, how Bush argued that his wars, you know, Iraq War and the Afghanistan War, were both off budget. Because, again, he was at least theoretically claiming he was using the Social Security money. But as Sarah points out, he just can't legally do that. Right, Sarah?
Yeah, no, I mean, Social Security is under the law separate from the federal budget. So, you know, I totally understand. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are really frustrated with, you know, some of the nonsense that people are putting out there who are saying, oh, Social Security is driving the deficit, or, you know, and we think, honestly, you know, I think it's insulting to the people who have paid into these programs over a lifetime of hard work.
It makes sense to me, Mark, so go ahead.
And that Bartiromo, she's supposed to be a money expert, isn't she?
She is.
Know that. They both know that. You know, Gregory won't let PolitiFacts on his program to check his facts. So the lies can just flow.
You know, Maria Bartiromo, she is definitely someone who is out there trying to help people who have a lot of money in stocks get more money. And I think they're concerned that people are going to make people pay higher capital gains rates, or make the rich pay, you know, the Clinton tax rates. And so they turn to Social Security because that's something that doesn't affect rich people so much. But David Gregory, I can't explain that one. I mean, he certainly, I don't think of him as liberal or conservative. I guess he just needs an education, because you're absolutely right.
I think he's just a liar. And you know what? Why do we always have to pay the bank robbers?
Which bank robbers are you referring to?
The bank robbers. Didn't they just they stole all our money for these phony wars and everything?
Well, that's true. I mean, Bush definitely.
And didn't we just bail out the banks? We always have to pay the bank robbers.
I hear what you're saying. Well, you're right. The people who caused the massive recession that we're just coming out of was largely the people on Wall Street gambling with so much money because they knew if they won, they'd get to keep everything. But if they lost, they could make us taxpayers pay for it. That's exactly what happened.
And they're salivating over that Social Security money.
I think that's what it is. I think they're looking at
$2.7 trillion, right? Boy, they want that last tranche.
I think you're right. I think they see a huge pot of money and they're like, hey, we want that. And so that's what they're doing. Hey, Sarah, do you think that's what's going on? They just see the extra money in the surplus, and they're like, hey, let's grab it?
I think definitely. I mean, look, generations of Americans built our Social Security system. And like I said, every one of us helps to build it over a lifetime of hard work. And I think there are a lot of people who want to dismantle that system and just take it apart piece by piece. And I think a lot of them are the Wall Street bankers who know they could earn a lot of fees and a lot of commissions, you know, if we didn't have Social Security anymore and we had to do everything through 401ks and, you know, other things out there in the private sector that just plain don't work as well and could be gone if we had another financial meltdown.
Thank you
FDR
for your call.
FDR and Bernie Sanders, my heroes.
There you go. Thank
Mine
you
for too.
Your call. Mine too. Thank you for your call, Mark. I appreciate it. So, Sarah, we just got a couple minutes left. It seems to me, though, when talking about Social Security, that people do pay into it, and that was actually the design of Franklin Delano Roosevelt from the beginning, that you'd feel like you have some ownership. And, you know, I hear people saying, well, it doesn't give us the return that it does if you put it in stocks and so forth. I remind people that the name of the program is the Social Security Insurance Program or Administration. In other words, it's not like your pension. It's an insurance program. In other words, you could put your money all in Enron and lose everything. You could put your money in the stock market and come out really well in 2007, but come out half as well in 2008 or 2009. But it's insurance. It's a guaranteed benefit. It's social and that we all pay for it. And it's secure and that you know it's coming. And it seems to me the only thing Republicans want is they want to privatize it. They want to make it antisocial. And they don't want the guarantee. They want to make it insecure. So they want antisocial insecurity, which doesn't seem to me to be really what the program's all about.
I think you're right, and the name isn't quite as catchy either.
Insecurity. I don't know. Paul Ryan, we could just call it the Antisocial Insecurity Program.
But sure there are individuals that would appeal to.
There you go. But the heart of it is, let me just remind you what Social Security does, because it isn't just a payment when you get to a certain age. It also, if parents die young and they leave minor children, then the children are covered. Paul Ryan got Social Security benefits when he was under 18, because unfortunately for him, his father died while he was under 18. But fortunately for him, his country was there to protect him, and he got those benefits. It also provides disability is included under Social Security. And let's face it, it's a guaranteed benefit. So even if you had enough insurance to cover you, enough pension to cover you till you're 85, you might not have enough to cover you till you're 95 or 100, and you might live that long. So Social Security covers you in all these different contexts. If you think of it as insurance, rather than think of it as some pension program, I think that people understand why we need it. Because I'm not against pensions. Pensions are good. But Social Security is that insurance that's there no matter what happens.
Well, and there's, you know, the reality, too, of if you look at the alternatives, you know, you look at 401ks, those are gone, those evaporated.
Right.
You look at home equity, that evaporated as well.
Yep. All we have left is Social Security.
Exactly.
Sarah, you've been terrific. An hour goes very, very fast with you. Thank you so much for coming here on the show, and I'll have you on again sometime. Folks, don't call in yet. We got the Talk Radio News Service coming up next. And then at the top of the second hour, we're going to move on and talk about Michigan and their new anti-union plan. This is Mark Levine, right back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. And if you want to find out more about me, my website's marklevinetalk.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at @MarkLevineTalk. Let's go to Justin Duncan with the Talk Radio News Service. Justin, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Mark?
Good. So Susan Rice got out of the way.
Yes, she did. She officially submitted a letter today to the White House saying that she would like her name removed from consideration. And the president accepted, which is sort of a concession to a lot of the right-wing criticism that was coming up primarily around Benghazi. And a lot of it, that was, of course, a little unfounded, but perhaps as well fear from, you know, some progressives who may object to her ascension.
See, I never really understood it. All she did was repeat what the Intelligence Committee told her. It sounds to me like there was another agenda. They didn't like Susan Rice because of other things?
I mean, that is one of the theories that's going on right now. There is, you know, one, of course, that is being branded about quite a bit, that it could have been about race. But there's also the theory that the senators really wanted to get John Kerry, who is, of course, you know, a long-serving member of the upper chamber, in that position.
Now, is John Kerry a shoo-in? You know, is he the only person being mentioned now?
Essentially, yes. He's the only one really up for it. And it seems like kind of conventional wisdom at this point, since he's been brandied about for 4 years and has done some pretty good work for the administration in the Foreign Relations Committee. And I think at this point it would seem kind of like a betrayal if he did not get a cabinet-level position.
Interesting.
So it looks like a sure thing that he's probably going to get it.
Of course, Massachusetts has a Democratic governor, so they'd appoint a Democrat, I guess, to replace. Or maybe they have an election, like they did with Scott Brown. I'm not sure. Either way, I think we're pretty safe in Massachusetts with a Democrat. So on other news, Obama and Boehner met. They've been complaining about each other. Obama says, you tell me your plan. Boehner says, you tell me your plan. They've both given a plan, but it doesn't look like they're any closer to each other.
They are not. And they actually had today, after Boehner held a press conference, decrying the administration for not really doing the spending. They met together at the White House at around 5 o'clock for a pretty short hour-long meeting, and then they left. And we are not getting many details from it. We'll probably hear about it in the coming days. But the one thing that is certain is that there was no deal at the end of it. So,
did Boehner look unhappy or happy as he left?
I don't believe the press was allowed to see him when he left. I think we're going to have to wait until he holds a theatrical press conference tomorrow to get some details on it. Even if he is happy, he, however, has to go back to his caucus.
Sure.
And pretend like he was not happy since, as we all know, his job is sort of on the line at this point.
Here's what I don't understand. Boehner is saying, Obama, I want more cuts in spending. Okay, I get that. But he won't specify exactly which cuts. He throws a number out, $800 billion or $600 billion, but he won't say, all right, what are you going to end? You're going to close the national parks? You're going to end the EPA? You're going to cut some of those oil benefits that go to oil companies that Democrats want to cut? You're going to cut Medicare? He won't tell us where, will he? I mean, I haven't seen anything about that.
No, he will not. It's sort of the kabuki dance at this point. If he goes out and says he wants to cut Medicare, then the Republicans are going to be in a weird situation where they just campaigned against Obama for cutting $770 billion in Medicare.
Right.
But then going around and calling for their own kind of cuts.
Well, it seems to me... real quick. Oh, I guess
I just don't think we're going to see any specifics.
Okay. Well, we ran out of time there. But the question, it seems to me, if Boehner, you want cuts, specify your cuts. And if he won't specify his cuts, then don't cut, Mr. President. This is Mark Levine.
The Leslie